الناس عن الكراسة الرداء very kind hearted Bhagavan the Lord Aha said Tan unto the Pachetas Shivaha Lord Shiva Baddha Anjalim who were standing with folded hands Rajaputran the sons of the king Narayana Paraha Lord Shiva the great devotee of Narayana Vachaha words. This is another one that Western devotees get into. Narayan. You know, like now some man is tired and he's yawning. Narayan. Not Narayan or Ramayan. Rama was tired and he yawned. These things are going on. That was a favorite. Accession of power. These things are going on. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, out of his causeless mercy, the exalted personality Lord Shiva, a great devotee of Lord Narayana, continued to speak to the king's sons who were standing with folded hands. Responsively, please repeat with folded hands. The great sage Maitreya continued, out of his causeless mercy, the exalted personality Lord Shiva, a great devotee of Lord Narayana, continued to speak to the king's sons who were standing with folded hands. Report by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva voluntarily came to bless the sons of the king as well as do something beneficial for them. He personally chanted the mantra so that the mantra would be more powerful, and he advised that the mantra be chanted by the king's sons, Rajaputras. When a mantra is chanted by a great devotee, the mantra becomes more powerful. Although the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is powerful in itself, a disciple, upon initiation, receives the mantra from his spiritual master. For when the mantra is chanted by the spiritual master, it becomes more powerful. Lord Shiva advised the sons of the king to hear him attentively, for inattentive hearing is offensive. This is, there's one point that comes out of the purport. This is a moot point, means you could take it that way, it could be taken another way, according to your disposition, but Srila Prabhupada says, when a mantra, although the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is powerful in itself, a disciple upon initiation, that's not what I mean. He personally chanted the mantra so that the mantra would be more powerful. And he advised that the mantra be chanted by the king's sons, Rajaputras. In other words, someone may think that let me hear the Maha Mantra from Srila Prabhupada on tape, and then I'm initiated. But here we find that Lord Shiva also personally requested some specific group, the sons of King Prachina Bhadi, a specific group, not just in general, everyone please chant Hare Krishna. Or, you know, everybody in Bangalore please chant Hare Krishna. But he requested a specific group. Please chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions that, that along with chanting the holy name, Lord Shiva requested the sons of Krishna Bhagavad to chant. So, here's another point here that is quintessential in our line especially, but I think you will find it there in the Christian tradition and perhaps in the Islamic tradition also. If you can philosophize, you can use logic and reason until the cows come home. In other words, in the morning you send the cows out to pasture, and in the afternoon and evening they come home, so old days pass. So the expression is, until the cows come home. You go on with your taraka, your debate, but ultimately everything depends upon invoking the mercy of the Lord. Because, finally, last to last, that is how we make advancement, by the mercy of Krishna. He is pleased with our attempts. We are, after all, sadhakas. We're trying to become sadhus. We're following a formula. This is a formula given to us by various practitioners in the field, and even adjustments have been made according to time, place, and circumstance. So there's no absolute path in that sense. Because the principle is there, that we should love the Lord completely without any reservation. Sarva dharmam paritya jamam ekam sharanam vrata. That principle is there. But according to Kala, Desha, and Patra, we see that not only generationally, not only by decade, but even at the same time, individual teachers, individual guardians, individual gurus will give slightly different instructions. For example, Kamal Krishna Goswami may have given different instructions to the devotees in China for some obvious reasons. In Russia also, where devotees have died, not died, they didn't die, they were murdered because of their faith in Krishna. There may have been a need, this is in a very obvious sense, there may have been a need for different instructions. So we should not get attached in that way to the external thing. If especially we should try to understand the essence and ultimately we should know that it is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His dearmost servants by which we are being liberated. So, even if someone may be not performing the rituals perfectly, even if someone is doing the wrong thing. For example, in the early days, Srila Prabhupada gave us certain mantras, like Mangalarti or Evening Arati. Now, there were things that were wrong, you could say. They needed to be corrected. A better example is Prabhupada's books. You know, Planet of the Apes. There was something in there about Planet of the Apes, which was obviously a mistranslation or a lack of good editing. You can say that Prabhupada read these books, but whether he went over each book with a fine-tooth comb. Now there's another one, a tooth comb. To comb over your teeth, you know. It means scrutinizing. He didn't go over every single book and every single word. There was need for some editing, and therefore Jai Jaita Maharaj and Dravida Prabhu, two of the most sterling, sincere devotees that I know of in the whole universe, as they change the books for our benefit. People criticize. Generally, those who criticize are people who are not exactly stable in their own spiritual lives, either physically or mentally. Abraham Lincoln. I'm not saying he's criticizing it. I'm saying Abraham Lincoln said he has a right to criticize who has a heart to help. These people are not interested in helping. They're interested in yelping. So, dogs go yelp, yelp. Causeless mercy, I would venture to offer that Jai Jaita Swami and Dravida Prabhu are receiving the mercy of Srila Prabhupada more than many others. So, Lord Shiva, out of his causeless mercy, and here's another argument against Buddhism. Talked to you about this nine defects, you can say, in Buddhist philosophy. You've read those? Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a list there of the quotes. So one of them, the last kind of tenet or mood of Buddhism is the compassion. Compassion is the goal. Compassion is the highest principle of a Buddhist, to be compassionate. So why? Even though the points out the obvious, actually Vaishnavas and even followers of Shankaracharya, Vedic followers, they don't take Buddhism very seriously. It's really not a philosophy. So, Bhaktivinoda points out that compassion is a relative term. I can show compassion to someone who is junior to me, but how can I show compassion to someone who is senior to me? He's obviously relishing far more spiritual blessing than I am. He can show compassion to me, perhaps. So, it's a relative. not very cogent. There's some will. The creation is eternal, so there's no need for a creator. And then later on, nirvana or annihilation of creation is the goal. I don't know, somebody forgot his brain cap or something when he went over these things. Pretty glaring. But Lord Shiva, he's an exalted personality. None other than, as Sarasvara, he's Vishnu himself. And then even as a Guna Avatar is one of the top three in the universe, you know. One of the top three gods, you know. And some people even worship him as the topmost. So he's an exalted personality. He's described as Bhagavan in the Shiva Purana, where Shiva is described as Bhagavan. So he can give blessing because he has causeless mercy. He's a merciful person. His true compassion and mercy are the crest jewel qualities of great souls. Nothing like that story. So just so wonderful where Tamal Krishna Goswami says, I'm sure you all heard it, but it just reverberates in my brain again and again. Tamal Krishna Goswami had the job of guarding Srila Prabhupada from being pestered by obnoxious and time-wasting like moochers, otherwise known as like members. A moocher is someone who simply is like a parasite, simply taking benefit. Let me not ask what my country can do for me, but let me ask what I can do for my country. That's a life member. Let me not ask what Krishna can do for me. Let me ask what service I can. I'm a life member, but that means I should lifelong render service. Not I'm a life member, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, and, you know, try to find it. Find detail, try to find out some loophole so you can get more. Anyway, people used to come and try to, it was very expressive. People would come with a big family. That's what happened in Chubu. And Prabhupada was saying that BBQ is now not building. That building's coming down soon. If you want to see that building, you better go and see it soon. They're all coming down. But someone came with his family, introduced his daughter, and then his wife, and then his sister, and then his granddaughter, and his this and that, and after about some. After they left, Prabhupada laughed. He said, you know, these people, they come, they're not interested in spiritual life. They introduce, this is my sex life, this is my sex life, this is my sex life. Come for some spiritual reason. But Lord Shiva, he's speaking to exalted persons also, the sons of they're not, people on the side of the road. They're definitely come to their particular position after many, many lifetimes of pious activity. Therefore, they are Rajaputra. But generally, Rajaputra means a lot of enjoyment. Just like in Bombay, there are so many wealthy people. And their sons are usually the biggest playboys in town. They're still in Malabar Hill. on it, all the rock and roll stars and the hippies and the... Generally, they don't come from poor families because, you know, poor middle class or lower middle or whatever.
Maybe you don't have time to be a hippie.
You know, you're too busy studying or trying to support your family or whatever. So these sons of King Pachinabhari, they were very exalted, but they weren't, you know, like Nag Muni blessed Raghuputra. Chiranjeeva, let him live forever. Because when you die, you're going to stay back. So many sinful activities, so many insensitive acts, just like, in one sense, people who hoard, gluttons, etc., practically they're stealing out of the mouths of people who don't have. They're the haves and the have-nots. Krishna has provided enough for everyone to have abundance, but when you get this greedy mentality, you see it all over the world. Especially in the Middle East, Asia, West Africa, you see the same mentality. Let me get as much as I can and hoard it. Doesn't matter if someone else is starving. So generally, king's sons are like that. They don't care how others are suffering. They just want to enjoy sense gratification, like the sons of Kubera, Mani Brida, Nala Kubera. They just wanted to get drunk and enjoy the women. They couldn't. They didn't care for the fact that their father was a responsible officer in the universe of government. And not only did they have an important duty, an important role to try to follow in their father's footsteps, but they were examples for others. And here they are drinking and sporting with women and just debauchees. Therefore, Narada cursed them. Another instance of it. Well, we find, of course, causeless mercy from Narada, but maybe not in such a pleasant way. But here, the sons of Pachinabhari, they are capable of understanding Lord Shiva's instructions. And Lord Shiva's not only giving them instructions, just, you know, here's the mantra, chant Hare Krishna, four legs, and, you know, go your way. He's staying quite some time with them. He's answering their questions. He's advising them. This is really causeless mercy when someone takes the trouble to help us through all of our problems. The other day from Brihad Bhagavatam about Sanatana Goswami. Of course, he was a prime minister in Bengal. Very wealthy man also, household man. But when he went to Vrindavan, it's not that he just found a little kutir and stayed there 24 hours a day. He actually went out into all the villages in the surrounding area, and he spent time with people. He spent real time. And he asked them real questions. Whether he was interested or not is debatable, but he asked them, you know, how are the chickens doing, and how was the harvest this year, and he remembered the names of their children. Very personal. Very personal, very personable. And he would give them spiritual advice at the end of the day. They would accept it or not, but they loved him. He respected them as Vrijavasis, and they respected him as someone who loved them. So he went out of his way. Each and every one of us can emulate that behavior. It doesn't have to be with 10,000 people or 1,000 or even 500 or 150. It can be just with a few others. For example, Bhaktisiddhanta's rules in the Brahmachari Ashram. Every Brahmachari was expected to render 5 different kinds of service to 5 other Brahmacharis every day. Wash somebody's cloth, bring someone prasadam, do some little thing every day. Bhaktisiddhanta, now, there is an ashram, a Brahmachari ashram leader. Person went around every night to see if Brahmacharis had, if their mosquito nets had holes in them, or whether they were sleeping okay. There's the acharya coming around to check. So Lord Shiva, he's giving his association. He's not withholding it. He's not thinking, I have too much to do, so much big management. I can't spend time with these king's sons. No. He was ready to spend the time because that singular act is noted here in the Bhagavatam. So, what was his causeless mercy? He advised them to glorify the Lord. Nāyāma dēno dēno bājāṁ dīlokē kāsāṁ kāmanāsate vidbhujāṁ vē kako vidyāṁ. One should perform austerity. Not exactly a message that the king's sons, the same thing Vrishabdev instructed his sons, not the person they want to hurt, because they're young, they have facility they want to enjoy. But Vrishabdev told his sons, and Lord Shiva's telling Pachimabari's sons, use your life for something valuable. Don't waste your time. Even from this age, don't waste your time imitating the pigs, the vidbhujam, the stool eaters. Stool eaters. And you can take that directly, because that's what pigs do, they eat stool, or practically everything separate from Krishna in this material world, every kind of food, every kind of enjoyment. That's on the level of stool leaders. Pigs have a good life. They really do. They can eat anything, any time of day. They're lazy as anything. They just wallow in the mud. They don't worry about cleanliness, and they get big and fat, but still, even when they're big and fat, still they have sex with anything that has anything like a vagina, you know, mother, sister, daughter, doesn't matter. No rules. It's the ultimate hippie. Shabdev was inviting, don't be like that. A little tapasya, a little austerity. So this is the mercy that someone gives us these instructions. The mercy is there in the instructions and in the following. Two things. First, we're given instructions, and when we follow, all power is there in the instruction. All power to follow the instruction is in the instruction. You just endeavor. Is the ornaments of a sadhu, and especially Karunika, so merciful. So he's, Prabhupada talks here about mantra, that, of course, we know that transcendental sound is especially meant for Kali Yuga. And
perhaps if we were in another age, we might.
Presta nose this way, and presta leg that way, and then they go and have cigarettes and coffee. Not everybody is like that. There are people who go to the Himalayas, and they attempt to practice yoga. And maybe some of them could be successful. Maybe. Not the 99.9%. And if something is very, very difficult, most people will just reject it out of hand. They won't even attempt it or even get a little benefit. Whereas at least with the Maha Mantra, there may be many people who chant Hare Krishna and after some time leave because they don't have enough conviction, they don't have spiritual credits, they commit offenses, we're always in that position, we have free will, so they may leave. It's not that they go away empty-handed. They take something with them. 1%, they start next life at 2%. But if it's, you know, if you ask me, well, let's go to the Himalayas, find a cave in the middle of winter, and do a Sangha yoga where we'll just eat a grain of rice every third day, and mostly forget it. Jokers or nobody can do that. I don't even think about it. I don't get any credit. So at least in Kali Yuga, everyone can get benefit because the great acharyas are giving this process. And here Prabhupada mentions how hearing that mantra, you can look through all of it. You'll not find a more perfect means of religion than to chant these 16 words, 32 syllables, Mala Mantra. It is the perfect process. And again, it comes back to the same thing, causeless mercy. If we can hear the holy name from someone who is completely pure, anartha nivritti, someone who's on the platform of bhava, that will definitely have a very potent cleansing effect. Just like there are different kinds of detergents. And some of them, you know, you couldn't even, you know, clean anything with them. They're just so, people cheat, you know.
They get a fancy name, do some marketing, but if you try to clean just the front steps of their house, try to clean anything. Try to clean their cloth. Doesn't clean their cloth, but it's got some acid in it, so it rots your cloth. Generally, they say don't wash silk with soap, because soap has that tendency to tear things apart. There is some very natural soap made from earth and other things, which the devotees do use in different places in the world. But some detergents are very powerful. They can clean anything. They can remove spot remover from the cloth. So here we have the Maha Mantra now. Of course, hearing the Maha Mantra will always have some effect. In fact, it's so powerful that even if you see Ramada in, you see Rama, and you think Rama, you get some benefit. Now, one thing is that if anyone has a tendency to fall asleep in class, there's absolutely nothing wrong with standing up. There is something wrong with sitting down and pretending that you're hearing them every 2 or 3 minutes. Well, I'm telling the Prabhupada says, stop that. It's offensive to the holy name. Because we're speaking from the Bhagavatam, even though it may be a little dull, but still it is. Prabhupada's purport, Sanskrit, to stand up if they have to. Or the other thing is he would tell someone, just go do some work. No time for you to hear. Take rest, go take a nap. It's not that we're trying to, snap the brain, by sleep deprivation. Programmer in America like that. They got the snap technique. They know how to snap the mind. Said the packet was real yo-yo. And when the time to do that, we're just weak, that's all. Therefore, these things are difficult. But anyone who has a little taste for Krishna consciousness, and this is what hard work can bring you. If you work for Krishna nicely, you work hard until you drop at night. You lie down to sleep, even if it's on the floor, you're off. Like that. When the light's out, you're out. Because you're tired. But when you wake up in the morning, you're fresh. And you want to hear the Bhagavatam because Krishna within your heart, Tesha Mevani Kamparatam, Ama Dhyana Jampama, he's turned on the light in there. So you really have a desire to hear. So the Maha Mantra, when it is heard from, or any spiritual teaching, when it is heard from someone who has realized knowledge, and I've seen them all. I've seen the hungry, how do I say? The hungry, how's that good you say? It means donkey instead of Dogre Maharaj. Why Bahu? I've seen them all. I've met them all. I've heard them all. And there's some really good people, storytellers. They got the charisma. And sometimes even a lot of people will sit in front of them crying and weeping. incredible potency they have for getting people to cry and weep. I don't know if that's the goal of life, but Chimayanama, he was expert. People didn't know what he was saying, but they sure thought he was intelligent. Srila Prabhupada was not flamboyant. I remember we had a Pandal program. Of course, you've heard about the Pandal program where there were 30,000 people across my land. That was the first big Pandal that we had. It was huge advertisement all over the city. And people were curious to see the dancing white elephants, the gory sadhus. It was the first time in Portland. So they came out of that. It's not because all of a sudden all the great sage and speakers of the Prabhupada was speaking. They came mostly for their own reasons, but later on, we were lucky if we could get 1,000 people in the Pandal. But Prabhupada would speak and people would become devotees. They would surrender their lives. They would give everything. They would become so convicted that even 30 years after his disappearance, they can't forget him, they can't forget his instructions, and they can't live without him. It's the power of someone who carries Krishna in his heart. And that's who we want to meet and who we want to hear from. It doesn't matter how scholarly they are. What matters is how sincerely they are trying to fulfill the order of the spiritual master, how sincerely they are following in the line of Lord Chaitanya. So, that will have a very powerful effect. And that's really what initiation means. That one hears Nitya Siddhartha Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem is Sadhya. It's already there, compact in your heart. It's not anything new that's been concocted. It's this, the knowledge, not only just the action of offering Arti, it's already there within the heart. No, it's not like that. The knowledge, the down buddhi yoga, the potential to get on the information superhighway with Krishna, who's there. But Sharanadi Shuddha Chitte, one has to hear and chant with sincere devotees. Then it's simply a question of being patient, because inevitably you will be successful very quickly, more quickly than you can reasonably expect if you consider the amount of sinful activities that we perform. Now, I'll just quote from probably the best example. I don't think it's an uncommon one, but in other words, I doubt whether any of us here is known as a John Leo Patio or something. A John Leo, that's not a common name, I don't think. But anyway, Ajamya has already atoned for all his sinful actions. Now, Ajamya had a lot to pay for. He was from a Brahmin family. He nicely married to a wonderful woman. His parents were old and loving and caring. He rejected all of them to go with the prostitute. He lost all good intelligence. So he killed. Did so many things, stole, tortured. He committed so many sinful activities, drank, raped. He just was really a sinful person, from a brahmana to a maletsa. Went the wrong direction. Prabhupada was taking maletsas and making them brahmanas. So John Hill showed the reverse. But he's atoned for those sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. Believe it or else. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayana. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense. So what does that mean? He didn't chant purely, but he chanted without offense. Nama Bhas, a platform. Go on. Explain. Don't just throw some Sanskrit out. Yeah. Yeah, just like people say, hey, Kapla, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So they get them, so, you know, you can dance with them, get them to chant, walk, do anything. Of course, actually, the whole thing here is a joke. How much there was. Just a foolish mistake. So, whatever you do in a foolish mistake, it's not more foolish or less foolish. Help people out. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense, and therefore he's now pure and eligible for liberation. There's another point here, too, that even if you are imperfect, go on chanting and you'll gradually cleanse. What do you expect to get by all this chanting? More chanting. That's what I told the reporter. What is the remedy for sinful chanting? More chanting. So that's why we have to set ourselves up in a lifestyle. We have to find our position. If we're brahmacharis, hey, that's the best life. No anxiety. Remain a brahmachari if you can. But if you think you can pursue spiritual life better as a grihastha, no problem. Prabhupada was a grihastha, Bhaktivinoda had two wives. Even Gaurakishore was married at one point. So many of our acharyas. Nothing can seem like there are far less who were like Bhakti Siddhanta and Naishtika Brahmacharya. Prabhupada told Karandar that my godbrother, who was a very important Judici at that time, chant Hare Krishna, and in there, if you ever get asked to, you know, or if you ever decide to take sannyas, or actually any senior preacher gets this all the time. People come and they say, Swamiji, please give us your blessings. What do they expect? They want a house, a car. You know, we used to have this song that we would sing. I forget the first two lines, but the last two lines was, give me a Cadillac car and a house.
by the sea, on Jai Jagadisha.
They talk about blessing. Wants to put their blessing. We tell them Chandra Krishna. Everything is there. Every blessing is there in the holy name. But give it from your heart. Chant nicely and spread the holy name. Give it to others. Will have as much potency as you are practicing to the degree that you are sincerely trying to follow the rules and regulations, sincerely trying to chant yourself. So, I'm probably missing a lot of points here, and I probably said some confusing things. So, are there any questions or further points of discussion? Today is the auspicious day of the appearance. I was going to say divine appearance, but that might be too much. Although, probably it's divine. But, His Grace Durga Mahaprabhu is certainly a pure devotee of Krishna, and we can all get great blessings from Him. He has maintained His devotional service so steadily and wonderfully since 1973. And he's a sincere servant of Srila Prabhupada. And he's a very jolly person. You don't find a trace of envy or even greed. He's lived so humbly with his wife and two daughters. One of the best people I know. He's one of my favorite Italians. So I'm so happy that he has come to the age of, was it 31 now? Age 52, the golden age. At least more like 12 or 13 in his heart. So we can all praise Lord Krishna that he bless him in the way that we all know. Durga Mahaprabhu ki. Okay, unless some of you are fasting this morning, we could end class now if you like.